And for the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel comes from the book of St. John, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. But a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Boundaries are something we learn as children. And as a new parent myself, boundaries are one of the first things we teach our children to try to keep them as safe as possible. We tell children that there are boundaries outside that they need to be alert of and respect. We teach them where the sidewalk ends and where the street begins and tell them not to walk into the street because of cars. We tell them what a crosswalk looks like and that they need to look both ways to make sure that cars aren't coming. We teach them about the dangers of strangers and creepy vans and not to go with people they don't know. We teach them that when a barbecue is happening, the barbecue is probably hot, and if you touch it, you're going to burn yourself. Boundaries are one of the very first things we instill. And when our children cross those boundaries and learn those consequences, they, from firsthand experience, realize that we maybe did know what we were talking about, and we do have their best interest at heart. Boundaries are not just something that individuals learn at a young age. Evolutionary scientists and anthropologists have looked and realized that boundaries were something that were extremely important with first civilizations, learning what things they couldn't eat, what places they couldn't go. That's why when we look at the Bible, especially the Old Testament, we see a lot of boundaries that are put in place by God. Some of the very first boundaries we see with Adam and Eve are the boundaries of the Garden of Eden. God specifically tells them where this garden ends and to stay here and to know that they will be taken care of and fed and everything will be fine even if they stay within those boundaries. When the Israelites cross into the Promised Land for the first time, God highlights which rivers this Promised Land encompasses. When the Israelites receive not just the first 10 commandments, but all 612 of them, these are all boundaries that have been placed as to what foods they can eat, what people they can interact with, how they are to worship God and seek atonement. I'll be the first to say that boundaries are a good thing. I would say 95% of the pastoral care work that I do when I sit with people in my office are to talk about instilling healthier boundaries in their lives. Boundaries are good. They keep us safe. But there's times where our boundaries become far more important than our call as Christians to love. That's why we see this pattern in Jesus to cross boundaries. I can't look at the whole Bible and say that this pattern exists of crossing boundaries in the whole Bible. But I can say that with Jesus and with the followers who came after him, there is this very clear pattern of crossing boundaries. When Jesus heals a woman who has been bleeding for 18 years, He's crossing a boundary. When he heals a leper, when he heals people who are disabled, people who are blind, people who are suffering from mental illnesses, every single time he does this, he is crossing a boundary that not only his own society, but his own religion has placed in front of him. And he does it 100% of the time for the sake of love. Jesus regularly crossed boundaries throughout his life. In today's story, we don't get the whole picture. It's the one that we read every year during Maundy Thursday. It's the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And now think about this. The disciples have spent 3 years growing up with these religious boundaries around them. Since they were children, they know these boundaries very well. But they've spent the last 3 years watching this teacher of theirs regularly cross these boundaries. For them, it probably would have been blowing their mind time and time again. I imagine in the back of their heads they were thinking, oh man, you're not supposed to do that. You're going to get in trouble. Yet Jesus did it for 3 straight years. And all the disciples could do is stand back and watch as he healed all of these people, as he sat at tables with sinners and prostitutes. But here in this moment, Jesus crosses another boundary when he washes their feet, something that is so far below his standard as a rabbi that Peter even tells him, you can't do this. I'm supposed to be washing your feet. In this one of his final acts, after Jesus washes their feet, he then says this to them, a new commandment I give to you. You need to go out into that world and love others the same way that I just loved you. Jesus is telling them, if you are going to be my disciples, you need to go out into that world and for the sake of love, cross boundaries. It is the first time that Jesus gives them a command to do what they have been watching him do for the last 3 years. That is the one command that we have as Christians, to go out into that world and for the sake of love, to be willing and courageous enough to cross boundaries. But we don't do that. For us, boundaries are a sense of security and safety. And so we like to firm up our boundaries. And I think it's becoming more so in today's climate. We look out into that world out there, that very scary world, and we see people that look different than we do, that sound different than we do, that worship different than we do, that live different than we do, and we create boundaries and a level of fear to say we might not know who they are, and so we can't really go out there because it might be dangerous. We live in this world where we have confused homogeneity with security, and diversity with fear. Yet we receive this command from Jesus still, love others the way that I have just loved you. Now I know I talk about love a lot, and I've talked about crossing boundaries before. But I don't say this simply because Jesus commands us to. We tend to come from this kind of high and mighty place where when we do work up the courage, when we do cross boundaries and go to foreign parts of the world or go into experiences that we might not be comfortable enough with, when us Democrats talk to the Republicans or us Republicans talk to the Democrats, oh my God. When we work up that courage, we have this mindset that we're bringing something to them. We're going to change them. We're going to bring God's love to them. They're the benefactors of our grace. But as I stand here and share this message once again for all of you, that we are commanded to cross these boundaries for the sake of love, it's not so much because we are called to go out there and change the world. But when we enter these spaces, the world changes us. Father Richard Rohr, a contemplative Catholic priest, tells a story of a time he went to Guatemala, to a very poor village. This was before he became a high-profile person as he is today. But he was going there as a Franciscan priest to go and talk with these villagers about God. And as he walked in, he received all of the pomp and circumstance that a Western priest would typically receive in that part of the world. As he entered, he recalled hearing the sound of chickens clucking and fluttering around. And when he showed up, one of the villagers said to one of the other boys in Spanish something that he didn't understand at the time, and the little boy disappeared. And then they invited Father Richard Rohr to come and speak for a couple hours while they got dinner ready. He didn't realize it at the time, but soon the sound of the chickens started to lessen until they weren't making any sounds anymore at all. And finally, after speaking for a couple hours with the villagers, they went and had this huge feast. And there on the table were three chickens that had been killed and plucked and cooked. And as he enjoyed this feast and this community and this kindness and this compassion from these extremely poor villagers, he remarked to one of them, "I don't hear any more chickens." And the lady said, "No, we killed our last three for you." When he left, he marveled and realized he hadn't thought of it at that point yet. But this was a village that lived in abject scarcity, yet acted with the mind frame of abundance, who, even in the midst of their poverty, because someone came into their village who was not part of their community, welcomed them with compassion and with an abundance of food that they could not afford. And he marveled that he was coming from a country of abundance that consistently operates with the mind frame of scarcity. It wasn't Richard Rohr who was changed that, or it wasn't the villagers that were changed that day. It was Richard Rohr who was changed that day. It wasn't the man bringing the God to the people, but it was the man who was witnessing God in these people. Crossing boundaries, which I talk about a lot, and we have a lot of them in our society, don't we? Ethnic boundaries, language boundaries, political boundaries, boundaries we don't think we're supposed to cross. And I talk about crossing these boundaries a lot, and it's not so much so that we could go out there and change people, but it is an invitation always for each of us to allow ourselves to be changed, to take our images of God, which tend to typically reflect our own boundaries, and allow them to expand, to allow our image of God to expand in who God is and what God looks like and how God operates in this world, to see that God exists in everything, in every person, in every creature, in every landscape. And if we can just work up the courage to cross those boundaries into those spaces, then we get to experience God in all of God's glory. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.